Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sun Guy here with you on another Sunday afternoon, first Sunday in the month of August. Some show notes: if you are looking for some professional wrestling to attend today, you have KDW happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena, up in our neck of the woods, WCWC happening today in Portland, actually Salem, Oregon. NWA Blue Collar happening today in Portland, Oregon, where I will be later today. And let's see, I believe there's one more show. Let me check the notes. Yes, in Chesapeake, West Virginia, Mega Pro Wrestling happening today. So get out there, support your local independents where ever they may be. Lots going on. Been a busy summer for wrestling, so hopefully fans will continue to flock to the venues. QT, lots going on in the Pacific Northwest in the last few days.
Well, Sun Guy, Devin Bellinger wants to know how long your trip to Idaho took, and there's a pot going. A throw the chips into the pot. They're currently dollar chips, and there have been several bids. One of the guys in this poker tournament guessed Sign Guy's length of trip to Idaho has guessed 7 hours and 5 minutes. Yes, and he threw in a blue chip.
So what you're saying is South Park Bellinger wants to know how long it took me to get to Idaho because he's smoking pot while playing poker and watching the movie Blue Chips?
Well, I don't know what Devin Bellinger has been smoking, but that's the gist of it, yes.
Wow, well, that seems like a pretty creepy, stalkerish thing to want to know. I don't know if I should tell South Park because I don't want to be on the way to Idaho the next time and he's hiding out in my trunk or something, because that'd be weird. Granted, he's an extremely weird individual to start with, but
one
that'd
has
be
to wonder
weird.
If he went over Blewett Pass to get to Idaho. Blewett Pass.
I did not see it, but I believe our guest is with us, so I want to bring them on right away. Do we have Mr. Cena with us?
You do, my friend. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Greatly appreciate it. To start things off, we'll give you the first question we give everybody their first time on our program. What led to you getting into the professional wrestling industry?
I guess it all goes way back to when I was a kid. I enjoyed professional wrestling, and then I started to promote professional wrestling. After I got married, I stopped promoting, and then when my divorce came along, John got into it, and I'm second generation. I got into it after John. So that was it. Once you get it in your blood, it's there, and it's pretty tough to get out. You got to love it, and I love it. And so that's where I began, and I'm still at it.
When you first started promoting shows, did you have any type of connection to people in the business at that point, or was it something that you had to completely learn from the ground up in order to start promoting?
No, I had a mentor out of Boston. Ford used to do stuff at the Boston Garden. And so if he had a show coming up or I had a college that wanted a show, we'd do the promotion. Obviously, they'd sell the tickets. I'd be there for the talent, make sure that we had the counts. He's a great human being and a great guy, great promoter. So I learned from the ground up
Now, jumping ahead, when you decided to get back into things, you mentioned being second generation. Was there any type of performing that you had done in the past when you had been in wrestling before, or was the performing aspect of it something that you hadn't explored at that point in time?
I had done a few things while I was doing some promoting. After that, I had completely stopped, as I say, when I got married, and then the divorce came along, and John had already been in California and then got hooked up with UPW. It was, a year later, maybe a year and a half later, that I saw that they were looking for a ring announcer. I went and tried out for the ring announcer, and that's when they said to me, gee, you got a great voice, but I think we have somebody already. I said, no problem. He said, well, wait, I'm looking for somebody to be a heel manager. That's when I decided that I was at the right place at the right time, started taking a little more training, understanding how to do what needs to be done right in the business to take care of those people in the ring with you. And from there, it's been nothing but a blast.
You manage there in Boston. I believe you also promote the promotion. Is that correct?
I have no promotions in Boston that I promote anymore. I do now is I'll appear as Johnny Fabulous, or obviously myself, John Cena Sr. I'll manage. I'm going to be involved in a tag match pretty soon. I'm not afraid to get back in the ring, but obviously I can't do what I used to do. But mostly managing, taking a few bumps here and there, face a heel. But I do not promote any I don't have any promotion myself, period, per se.
A managerial position is something that the national companies don't really focus on anymore, but it often makes a big difference for someone that's new to the business or someone that just never really developed very good speaking skills to promote themselves. Do you find yourself helping out the younger kids more as a manager and being able to kind of teach them the ability to speak for themselves when they do get to that next level and there aren't really managers available to help them?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's a couple of ways to answer your question. The first way to answer it is, I think the major problem is that they should be going back to managers. You've got some outstanding performers in the WWE. You've got some outstanding performers in many of the local indie promotions and some of the promotions that I've done across the country, but they can't use the stick. Remember, the job of the manager is not to get the shine on him or herself, but to put the shine on his protege or wrestler and do the speaking for them. Perfect example. One of the best right now in the business is Paul Heyman. One of the best. If anybody said to me, I want to become a manager, whose work should I study? Modern day, I would definitely be studying none other than Paul Heyman. One of the best. And the other thing is, I blame the wrestling schools today, because the wrestling schools, they teach young men and women how to bump. They don't teach them what we used to learn in the wrestling school, which was ring psychology, professionalism, respect, and how to speak, how to cut a promo. You know, when I speak to groups or I do seminars on wrestling or managing, they say, gee, how did you learn to cut promos? Well, I'll be honest with you. I talk a lot into the bathroom mirror, and I used to talk a lot back to my radio. And that's how you get to do promo work. And it's got to be natural. You know, and I think that the job of the manager, again, is to put that superstar over. Look at the job that Paul Heyman is doing with Lesnar. Look at the job that Bobby Heenan did with all the protégés and wrestlers under him. Classy Freddie Blassie, another guy who's not with us, a good friend who's not with us anymore, Captain Lou Albano. Look what he did for his people. I believe that the professional wrestling business needs to bring back the managers. they play an important role in this business. We'll see what happens. Another great manager on the female side, I don't know if you all agree or not, but I think Vicky Guerrero is one of the best. She just walks out and gets booed. That's the sign of a great heel manager. Same thing with Paul Heyman.
I definitely agree with you about the need for managers in bigger companies. You reference, of course, when you manage, you usually manages Johnny Fabulous. How did you come up with that particular gimmick for yourself as a heel manager?
After we decided that I wasn't going to be a ring announcer and they wanted to have a heel manager, I sat down with the promoter and a couple of the young guys from the school, Big Guns, Jim Sargent, and a few other people that were training there, Freight Train, who was already trained, a great performer. And we said, we got to come up with a gimmick and we've got to come up with a name. Now, what do people really hate? They hate people who have money, who are rich, who are famous, who have cars, who have yachts, who have, you know, big estate. Thing is, we got to get a name for them. I said, we can't use Johnny Cash because obviously that's trademarked. You can't use that. Johnny Bucks. I said, you know what? Whatever we come up with has got to be fabulous. And the promoter looked at me and he said, that's it, Johnny Fabulous. And so Johnny Fabulous was born and made his appearance for the first time at Salisbury Beach at the Pavilion, which is now the Sea Glass Restaurant, a very, very unique place to eat. If anybody's looking for fine food and the ocean, what a great place to dine. But that's where Johnny Fabulous sat in the audience with a pad of paper and looked like a fan, taking notes, calling this wrestler a piece of garbage, and then he made his debut. And that Johnny Fabulous was born from there. I have my own Fabo Bucks, as you know. I hand those out. I'm the richest man in the world. I have yachts. I have women. I have cars. I feel bad for you people that have to work and get up every day that work 40 hours or 50 hours a week. I just simply count my money, and I thank you for working for me. That's Johnny Fabulous.
A few years into Johnny Fabulous's career, you started making a few appearances on World Wrestling Entertainment's television. How did that come to be? Who contacted who or who suggested it initially?
I was contacted by the WWE, and I was asked if I would be willing to do something with the WWE. You know what? It's always an honor and a privilege to be allowed to work with the WWE, their talent, and for Vince McMahon, who I have nothing but respect for. He is a genius in this business and really knows it inside out. So they contacted me. They said they had a storyline they wanted to do. One of them obviously was with Edge and Lita. One of them obviously was with the Viper, Randy Orton. And so we just kept going. That was it. It was them that contacted me, and I'm very humbled that they did, and I agreed to go forward and do what they asked.
Now, with WWE, one of the things that you did for them was a cameo appearance on Total Divas. I believe that was last season. Can you tell us a little bit about your appearance on Total Divas and how that all transpired?
Well, the only appearance I've ever made on Total Divas was the original, I believe it was the first season with Nikki Bella, when Nikki came to meet the whole family. That was done at one of the finest restaurants in New England for Chinese food, and that's the Kowloon Restaurant on Route 1 in Saugus. Andy Wong, Bobby Wong, two of my best friends there. They're a great family, great food. And so they wanted to do something locally. She was coming to Boston to meet my family, my sons, my ex-wife. And so the decision was made that we would hold this meeting at a restaurant that we all love, and I'm sure everybody else does that goes there, and it was held at the Kowloon Restaurant. And I think that really, as far as I remember, that's the only appearance I've ever made on Total Divas.
Was reality television something that you enjoy doing after you saw what the process was and what it took to put that appearance together?
If you really want to chuckle, it never came to fruition, but one of the people that was involved with Total Divas wanted to do a reality show with the Cena family, my five sons, and it never came to fruition. They had spoke about it. We had my son Dan is a real comedian. He had everybody laughing, and a few other things transpired, and they said, "Wow, what a great reality show this would make." And I said, "Anytime," but of course that never transpired. There's a lot of energy and a lot of work, and don't let anybody ever tell you that there is not, because into creating a believable reality show, and Total Divas says this is total reality. I haven't seen the Bellas reality show yet with their family. American Grit's another reality show. A lot goes into producing and making sure that those are correct. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. I wish they would have done a reality on us, but c'est la vie. It's a lot of work, a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of writing and a lot of time.
You referenced the new Bellas reality series that is scheduled to come out this fall. It looks like John's going to be a big part of that, perhaps. Have there been talks with the producers of that to bring you in for a few appearances of the new show?
No, I haven't been contacted to appear on the Bellas show. I don't know if they will contact me, but I will only say this. If they do contact me, I would be more than honored to be a part of that show. I'm sure that, you know, if it's going to revolve around the Bellas and the families, let's hope that at some point there's room for, as most of my sons call me, the old man. I'd be more than honored to make an appearance on that show. But as of now, I've not been contacted.
Well, hopefully that will change. Now, on the independent circuit that you work on, when you're working with some of the newer talent out there, do you get the sense that the young talent of today is similar to the young talent when you were promoting, when you first started out, as far as wanting to learn and knowing where to go and what to do so they can further their career, or have things changed that drastically in the years between that it seems like the younger guys don't really grasp the business as well as they did when they were breaking in years ago?
Well, first, all I want to say is this. It's the young men and young women. Let's not leave out one of the most important aspects of this game of professional wrestling. There are outstanding women in this business who have been held back for many years. And I'm finally glad to see that the WWE and the independent circuits, and I'm one of those guys, I used to have Fabulous World of Women's Wrestling, but we did nothing but women wrestlers. They deserve a lot of credit. Many of those women wrestlers are better than some of the males. But in answer to your question, I find that the young talent today is a lot different from the talent 13, 14, 15, 20 years ago. And what I mean by that is a lot of the young talent today gets built up quick in these quick schools. 6 months, 7 months, you got a match because you're in my school, you're in the ring. They're not ready. Some of them are not ready. They can bump, but they can't bump. All they want to do is get their shine. They want to get out there, and it's all about me. It's not about us. Two people in that ring, remember this. I've been out there, two people in this ring. My life is in your hands, and you know what? Your life is in my hands. We need to understand this game. We need to understand how it goes. More, sometimes less is better than more, and the young people today have a problem understanding that. I remember doing a match with a young man who's in the Ring of Honor now. I managed him for quite a while at Atlantic Pro Wrestling, where I do quite a bit of appearances for them down in Newbury. Next show there is August 20th. And he was wrestling another young wrestler from another federation. And I heard them discussing the match, and we go out, and here's this giant getting taken down by this puny little guy. And after the match is over, obviously this guy won, but he went down four or five times. I went to the back, and I said, what the hell was that? And the younger, skinny wrestler just kind of looked at me and said, how else was I going to get my shine? Your job was to go out there and get squashed, not get shine. In the old days, if you were told to go out and get squashed, you get squashed. If you were told to go out there and do X, you did it. And you protected whoever you were working with out there. Get me wrong. There are a lot of good professional men and women in this business who are busting their asses to get to the top of this game. And I've worked with a ton of them. Some of them are getting out of it. John Walters is out of the business. Great performer. Great performer. Another Dean Malenko in my book. I work with a lot of young men and women. Mistress Belmont's another good one. I'm bringing in a young lady from Florida, I hope, this month at Atlantic Pro Wrestling. Dedicated to the business. Working hard. You can just see their work ethic. They listen. And the good sign is when they get out of the ring, they go to the veterans and say, what did you think? What can I do to improve? And then you'll get other ones that just finish the show and go, that was great. See you later. Goodbye. I think today's generation has lost respect. I remember doing a show with Roddy Piper, God rest his soul. Myself, Gino Martino was sitting down. Roddy walked into the locker room. Nobody would get up to give him a seat. Gino and I get up and offered him our seat. Respect. Respect for the business, for the legends, for the people that paid their dues so we could get where we are today. It's kind of all lost. It's a we business, but in some cases it's been turned into an I business. So I think there's been a tremendous change. I think that people have lost track of what this business is really all about.
Do you find yourself in the role of the person in the locker room that the younger talent comes to for advice? Because obviously you've done a bit of work on television and you've been around for long enough that you seem to know what you're doing. Do you find the young kids coming to you and seeking you out for a little bit of guidance?
Well, I guess the answer to that is they seek out advice from all of us in the locker room who are veterans. They'll come to me, they'll go to other performers in the locker room and say, what do you think? Managers, young men and women who want to be managers will specifically come to me, say, what do you think? How do you think? What do you think of my promo? What do you think I need to do on that? Some of the wrestlers will ask if I'll watch a match, if I can critique their match. I do that along with some other friends and wrestlers. So I don't find that – see, when I go into a locker room, I'm just me, John. Hi, how you doing? I'm John. How you doing? I'm John. That's it. If they come over and they say, hi, you're John Cena Sr. Yes, I am. Could you watch a match? Could you do this? Obviously, then I help out. But the young men and women today, those that really want to make it in this business, are always seeking advice from all of us.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it, if you can find the young kids that'll seek out advice of all the veterans. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know how we have a few questions from QT as well, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for just a little bit.
Okay, sounds great, my friend. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, John.
How you doing, my friend QT? Things are good with you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good in the foggy and drizzly Northwest.
Oh, well, you know, like I say, what do you know? You think the wind's going to blow. You and I, we think we got a pain, but suddenly look out the window and there's some rain. You know me, I can't see. All I know is 1, 2, 3. Pretty soon it's going to be you and I. I'm going to hit you with 1, 2, 3. You're going to cry. So sit back, brother. Let's have some fun. What's your questions? Fire the gun.
Hey, that sounded almost as good as Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, well, you know what? There, my friend, is a true legend, a true human being. We sustained a great loss. We truly did lose a great man. My hat's off. Yep. Well, what can I do for you, my friend?
Well, now, you're from the Boston area, and speaking of another boxing legend, how long did you grow up in the Boston area, or did you?
All my life.
Oh, okay.
All my life. Born and brought up in the Boston area.
Oh, well, so you must have been a big fan of Rocky Marciano.
As a matter of fact, my kids laugh. But when I was a kid, my mother and dad had to sell the house because my asthma was bad. Thank God I'm great now. But they had a parade coming down Rantoul Street, and I was honored to walk beside the open convertible. And they obviously were gathering money to help pay for a flight or whatever, right beside Rocky Marciano. That was one of the highlights of my teenage youth. That was truly an honor. An outstanding boxer. Another devastation to the world of professionalism when he was killed in that plane crash.
Now, why don't you think that Rocky Marciano is promoted above Muhammad Ali because he never lost?
You know what? I don't have the answer to that. I really don't. The sports world is a funny, funny world. If you were to ask me today what you just said, I would say that we have two outstanding athletes in two different time frames being promoted as being completely different. Muhammad Ali, in my book, truly is the star of this time. Rocky Marciano, in my time, was the big star then. I don't know how to answer your question there, my friend. I really don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, sometimes questions are left unanswered, yes, and they're left to sit there. Okay, that's good. Well, John, I saw your YouTube video called John Bradshaw Layfield and the Uprising Attack, John Cena Sr., and I noticed it had 14,834 views, which is very good. I also noticed that you had your hand on a white four-door car with a sunroof. Well, you had your hand on the door handle, and as you started to walk away, my first question is this a new, not a used, Ford Prius, and did it have a bumper sticker on the back that said, "We need JBL as a third-party member"?
The answer to your question is no. No, brother, no. Good question, but the answer is no. No, there was no bumper sticker there.
That wasn't a used Ford Prius?
No, I'm afraid not. No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know what you've been smoking, but it's the wrong stuff.
Oh, okay.
And don't eat the brownies.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't had any brownies. Okay.
That was done. That video was done. Wow, that was a long time ago. I remember that one. That was done for NWF.
Yes. Well, now,
yep.
John, Mr. Layfield used to drive to the ring in mile-long Cadillacs or Rolls Royces that had Longhorn steers on the front of the hood. This is because he used to, and most likely still does, own very profitable cattle ranches in Texas whose steers provide the finest Kobe beef, just like media mogul Ted Turner. My question is, have you ever used the term, you mess with the bull and you get the horns?
Man, oh, man. I tell you, you're not only smoking, but you're drinking. The answer is no.
Oh, okay.
All right, QT, you're doing great, man. You're doing great.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. Now, John, I stopped the video at the 126 mark, and I noticed that you were wearing a bright blue tie with dollar signs on it. My wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, tell me that this may have made two sources may have made this tie, Georgie Animal Steel or Donald Trump. Can you verify which one?
Both. You'll notice that the tie is blue. George's tongue. And the money is gold. Donald Trump, the next president of the United States. Couldn't ask for two better people to contribute to the making of a tie.
Or the making of society itself, yes. Very good.
The
especially
tie,
George
my tie. I needed colors for that tie. There you go. Two great guys.
All right. Well, Mr. Cena, at the 2 minute and 6 second mark of the video, as you are standing face to face with Layfield, he can be heard saying, "I think you should come on board as a good employee, should, and realize that the good of the company is much bigger than the good of the individual." Now, Mr. Cena, when you talk about the good of the company over the good of the individual, this mindset typified the Japanese corporations of the 80s and 90s, and you now see where Japan's economy is. The good of the established ruling party over the individual is indeed why Venezuela and indeed the slums of Caracas have energy blackouts and toilet paper shortages. My question is, are you a big fan of the rock group Collective Soul, and do you have any wrestlers that use entrance music by Collective Soul, like their song Shine? Yes.
Well, first of all, if you know anything about John Cena Sr. and Johnny Fabulous, I'm a classical music person, number one. Number two, I do not manage nor have I managed anyone who uses music from that group.
Oh, okay. None by Collective Soul. I'm going to mark that down in our book here, log book. Oh. None. Okay. Now, do you think Kofi Kingston should use Shine by Collective Soul as his entrance music? Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston is a personal friend. I remember working with Kofi Kingston in another promotion when he was on the indie side of it. I never knew a more determined, hardworking individual than Kofi Kingston. He deserves everything he has and deserves the spot that he has. What he uses for entrance music is fine with me. Kofi could use Bootios is great and it would be fine. If he chooses to use that music, that's fine with me. I have no problem with that at all.
And he sure has a sunny disposition, doesn't he?
Who, Kofi?
Yes.
Kofi's a great human being. He's got a great personality. He cares about the fans. He cares about the business. He cares about his family, both families, his wrestling family and his own family. He's a great human being. Nothing but good words for Kofi Kingston.
Oh, okay. All right. I also liked him from his debut. Yes.
He's a great guy. And, you know, John Layfield, to back up a little bit, did drive a Prius, but they went to a bumper sticker.
Oh.
We want to clear that up for you.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm marking that down right now. JBO drives a Prius. Okay.
No, he drove it. That was a rental car.
Oh, okay.
That was not his vehicle. Right. Oh, no. JBL is a great human being, another great, great, great person, one who truly understands the business and who truly has done a lot for the professional wrestling business. But that was a rental car. That's why when you asked all those questions, the answer had to be no, because it was a rental car. There's no way you could put that stuff on a car.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, that was a rental. Because he was coming out of Logan Airport straight to do the interview on the show and then back where he had to go.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, what do you think of the recent CNN poll that found out that your ordinary American on the street, 50% of them believed that the orchestra doing JBL's entrance music was the Boston Pops, 30% of them thought it was the London Philharmonic, and 20% of them thought it was the Trans-Siberian Light Orchestra?
It just goes to say one thing. Most people don't know their music, and most people, when they don't have an answer, will always mark off C. How's that?
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think, you know, when you ask people, well, who did JBL's music? I don't know, Boston Pops. Philharmonics. You know what? Let me ask you, who did JBL's music?
I believe that was the Trans-Siberian Light Orchestra.
I believe you might be right, but at the same time, the average wrestling fan or the average person on the street doesn't get into that stuff. So when you, it's like when you throw out names of products, if I say to you, I want to have a cola, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? What word?
Can you repeat that? What was that, coho?
I'd like to have a glass of cola. What would you give
me
for, what would you say? You'd say
right away,
Coke, automatically.
Mountain Dew.
Well, Coke is a dark drink, so you'd say Coca-Cola. So when people say, which Philharmonic Orchestra do you think, if any, produced JBL's music, and here's your choice of the three, you see where it goes from there? So,
yes.
Again, I would concur. You know your stuff, but the average person on the street, not many pay attention to that. They pay more attention to what happens in the ring.
Okay. All right. Very well said. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, at the 2:45 mark, two of JBL's henchmen attack you from behind, and you fall to the ground. At the 2:49, 2:50, and 2:52 mark, a figure whose face is obscured can be seen wearing a flannel shirt and tan Doc Marten boots. Has this member been identified as one of the members of the tag team Crime Time?
Well, the two people that attacked me, obviously, were one great outstanding athlete right now who's done with NXT, Tommaso Ciampa. And I'm sure you know who the other wrestler was. I don't think you need to be told who he is. He's been around a long time in the business. He's a great friend of mine. We've done a lot of shows together. And, of course, JBL, in the answer to your question in the shirt and the moccasins, I would have to say the answer to your question might be no.
Oh, okay. No Crime Time member. Okay.
You know, it's Slick Wagner Brown, who's the other one that attacked me, right? That was Slick Wagner Brown.
Oh,
Slick Wagner Brown and Tommaso Ciampa. Those are the two people that attacked me.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. They got me from behind. That's where they pushed me into the wall, and I fell to the ground, and JBL was standing over me.
Yes, and one of the thugs said, one of those wrestlers said, give him a tip, JBL. Give him a tip. And JBL proceeded to stuff what appears to be $2 bills in your mouth. My question is, did you use this money to buy some Old English 800 malt liquor to ward off the post-traumatic stress syndrome of the attack?
No, as a matter of fact, those two bills that we shoved down my throat were Fabo Bucks, my $1 million Fabo Bucks. That's what he shoved down my throat after they poured down his energy drink down my throat. And if you listen further to that tape, you'll hear JBL say, it's too bad, you should have drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yes, I did.
There you go. So the answer is no. No malt liquor, no.
Why did JBL mention Kool-Aid when they just poured energy drink down your throat? That's my question.
Well, the answer is simple. Remember he asked me, you seem to be following this video right along, and remember he asked me to become an employee and work hard with him, and I said, no, I wouldn't work with you. The Heartbreak Kid, look what happened to him. He went to work with you, and look what happened. I don't even like you. That's the Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid was the offer.
Oh, okay.
The offer to become part of the corporation, to be part of JBL's organization, for which I refused. So the retort from JBL obviously is, you should have drunk the Kool-Aid instead of getting beat up, having this drink poured down my throat. And if you notice the shoving of the dollar bills in my mouth, that's reminiscent of one of the all-time greats out there who did it all the time, the great Ted DiBiase.
Yes, the Million Dollar Man, yes.
There you go.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Mr. Cena, I also saw your YouTube video entitled WWE Raw Randy Orton versus Mr. Cena, John Cena's father, which to date has 610,207 views. My question is, do you have any lingering effects from Randy's RKO?
The answer to that is I fear the Viper. I guess if that's a lingering effect, yes. I fear the Viper. I don't know if you saw the other video, which was Orton punts Cena's dad. I do have a scar over my eye that cost me 6 stitches from that kick, a concussion, and 2 black eyes. So
ooh.
I remember that. And I certainly remember that match in which Orton did anything and everything to me. And I really mean that. He showed no mercy. And that RKO at the very end, believe me, just don't ever think you can dance with the Viper if you're not ready and win. He will decimate you. All I can say is, and let's move to the present day, Brock Lesnar, look out. The Viper may strike.
Oh, wow. That's huge. Okay. Well, I'll write that down. Okay.
Well, you never, I'm going to tell you something, never underestimate Randy Orton. Regardless of what I say or how I feel, he's a true professional. And all I'm going to say is Brock Lesnar had better not underestimate for this upcoming match against Randy Orton, the Viper, because you know what happens with a snake. You might think it's dead, but just when you get close enough, it strikes and down you go. So Lesnar may have the suplex, tell you what, when a Viper strikes, it hits its mark and you're dead. So just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Do not underestimate this man. I'm living proof. I'm not a professional wrestler. You see what he did to me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well said. Okay. Now, Mr. Cena, seeing how you're from the Boston area, do you prefer Boston clam chowder over Manhattan clam chowder?
There is no clam chowder like Boston clam chowder. You cannot sell me the red sauce clam chowder. The clam chowder was originated in New England. It was done with bacon fat, chunks of, you know, some bacon, whole potatoes, quahogs and clams, that rich cream. You can never beat New England clam chowder. They can, and no offense against my friends in New York, but that Manhattan clam chowder just don't have that good old-fashioned clam chowder taste.
Wow, all right, okay. Are you a big fan of the Family Guy's Drunken Clam Bar?
Am I what?
A big fan of the Family Guy's Drunken Clam Bar.
Oh, the Family Guy's Drunken Clam
Bar? Yes.
Oh, dear God. You know what? It's animation. It's fun. I suppose if they ever decided to put Johnny Fabulous or John Cena Sr. into the Family Guy as a special guest or for an appearance on that show, I guess I would be a fan of the clam bar.
I only ask this because if you could get on that show, I'd love to see you in a wrestling match against Quagmire. That's what I was getting at.
You know what?
Quagmire.
If you've got any connections, why don't you get a hold of Seth Green and set this thing up?
Okay.
It might just be the best thing that ever happened on The Family Guy.
Yes, I think a Hell in a Cell match between you and Quagmire would be very good. Giggity.
Well, then, you know what I say? Play promoter now.
Oh, okay.
Get out there and put your promoter hat on and say, here we go, Seth, I got this idea. Let's do it. Let's make it rock and roll.
Oh, all right, I will try to do that. Yes, I'll try to use turnbuckle turmoil clout. Yes.
I like that. Go for it. I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Well, Mr. Cena, at what age did John finally catch up to you and indeed surpass you in the clean and jerk?
My son started lifting weights at 12 years old.
Ooh.
I guess that's when he surpassed me.
Oh, okay. 12 years old.
John was very serious about bodybuilding, very serious about good health, And I would say that I might have picked up a few weights, but nothing to the extent that my son started at 12 and continued and still continues to this day. He's living proof that if you eat healthy, if you take care of your body, and he lifts 6 days a week, you can have what you want, and that's a strong, healthy body.
Oh, there's no doubt in that, yes. No doubt by his appearance, okay?
Yep.
Now, who do you think would win in a barbed wire Hell in a Cell match, Paul Heyman or rock star Alice Cooper?
My money's on Heyman all the way. Are you kidding me? No way. The founder of ECW, Extreme Wrestling, the man that brought it all to you, Sabu, Tommy Dreamer, the Fan Man. Are you kidding me? Paul Heyman would make your man into Mitsby with that baseball bat. It'd be over. Alice Cooper would be finished. My money's all the way. I'm one of the best in the business, and I really mean that. I said it earlier to your co-host. When people ask me who I should look at to look at what needs to be done to become a good manager, well, look at some of the old tapes with some of the old managers, but definitely look at one of the best in the business right now, and that's Paul Heyman.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to put
so my money Paul says Heyman kicks ass. How's that?
Oh, very good. Okay. Okay. Now, what did you think of the babyface hybrid manager valet, Miss Elizabeth? Was she an inspiration to you?
Let me tell you about Mrs. Elizabeth. I think that she was a refreshing star in the business. She helped her husband, or former husband, spouse, Macho Man Savage, another great, great human being. Sorry, a great loss to the business. I wasn't, in terms of female valets or managers, I think she did what she was supposed to do. Go out, look pretty, and she was a different type of valet. She was there to assist and not to get involved. You notice she was, when she got taken advantage of by George the Animal Steel when he fell in love with her, remember those little vignettes?
Yes.
With the Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage situation, that was the setup for her. And I use valets myself. I have one valet I use called Miss Trust, and you can't trust her, but the whole thing is that I think she exemplifies the beauty of the valet, and that's what he used it for. Miss Elizabeth, kind of like, here's Miss America. She brings me down, brings me in, watches out for my safety, doesn't get involved, but in many cases gets brought into the action or into the event. So I think she did what she was supposed to do. I think she was good for the business, and she showed another side of it.
Okay. All right. Now, have you yourself ever been offered to throw out the first pitch at a Boston Red Sox game?
No, I have never been offered to throw out the first pitch at a Boston Red Sox game. They probably don't even know who I am. I am just me. I enjoy what I do. I have a lot of fun doing what I do. I am allowed to work with a lot of up-and-coming young women. I'm honored that they allow me to become part of their lives and allow me to work with them and help them along. It's not about me. It's about them. So, no, they haven't asked me to throw out the ball at the Red Sox game. I can remember many years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago, I was asked to throw out a ball at a Little League game. That was a disaster, too. So I don't think they'd ever ask me.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, if Turnbuckle Turmoil gets you this match with Quagmire in a Hell in a Cell match, I think the Boston Red Sox will know who you are.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it, brother. I'm ready. As the Hulkster would say, brother, you get it done, brother, and we'll make sure it happens, brother.
All right, that's very good imitation. Very good.
Well,
all right.
I have the friends. You can't forget the can't forget the Iron Sheik, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, the Iron Sheik. Yes. Very good. Yes.
Unsung hero. I like to thank everybody. Come, Sinner on Turnbuckle Turmoil. I just like to say, Hulk Hogan, I spit in your face. I break your back. Make your hammer.
Hey, another very good imitation. Wow.
Wow. He's another friend of mine. The Sheik is an outstanding human being. God bless you, Sheik, if you're listening.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Cena, one of my favorite debut matches was when your son made his debut with Kurt Angle. Kurt asked your son, "Who the hell are you?" And John answered, "I'm the poster boy for ruthless aggression." My question is, have you met Kurt Angle in person?
I have never had the honor or privilege of meeting Kurt Angle. I saw that match. That was a great match between two outstanding athletes. But I had never, ever, ever had the opportunity of meeting Kurt Angle in person. I wish I would have had that opportunity because he truly is a great professional. Nope, I never had the opportunity.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, how was John's grade point average in high school? And did you make it a rule that he had to have a 3-point GPA or better to compete in sports?
Well, let's just make it simple. I have 5 sons, Stephen, John, Dan, Matt, and Sean. I never put any grade point on anybody. The only thing I ever said to my sons was, be proud of who you are and do the best you always can. And the best you can do is all you can do, and nobody can ask any more of that. John, as you know, was at Cushing Academy. That's where he did his high school business, and was very good in his grades there. Obviously, smaller classes, but he worked hard, very hard, as did all my sons, to keep their grades where they belong. So, no, there was no restrictions. There's no, as you put it, if you don't have the grade, you can't play the sport. That's fear. And fear never accomplishes anything. It becomes a bullying situation. It diminishes humanity. If you let people know, be you, do the best you can, and if that's all you ever do in your life is the best you can, you'll be successful. Don't ever let anybody tell you you have to achieve a certain goal. You'll achieve that goal if you desire it. And that's what each one of my sons have done.
Wow, okay. All right. Okay. How many times did you have to tell John and his brothers to stop wrestling and go to sleep because you had to get up early for work? Yes.
Well, let's put it this way. I would always tell them when I came home to stop throwing each other on the cement floor, stop throwing people on the bulkhead, not bounce off the beds with body slams, but never said that. Nope.
Oh, okay.
Your information is, like I say, don't drink the water.
Yes. or the Mad Dog, yes.
There you go.
Now, is it your goal one day to ring the bell on the New York Stock Exchange with JBL?
No.
Oh,
nope. That's not a goal of mine. My goal was met the day I worked with JBL. I had the opportunity to work with an outstanding human being, a great performer, a great professional wrestler, a great investment. I tell you, this guy is a genius. But to ring the bell in the stock market, to me, I'd rather ring the bell at a WWE wrestling match as the timekeeper.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, what if you had a chance to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange with Gene Simmons or Kiss?
What station are we on? What's the name of it? Where are we on? No. I'm at a barbecue and somebody wants to listen to your podcast. Blog
okay.
Talk Radio.
Yes.
Right? Blog Talk Radio?
I
guess.
Yep, I just told them Blog Talk Radio. Sorry for that interruption. No, I mean, I'm here with like I'm in my car. There's like 40 people here. We might as well have 40 people listen to what we're saying, right?
Oh, that'd be great. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're all going to get their cell phones now and do it. So.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right. It's been nice talking to you, QT, and I look forward to being on The Family Guy against Quagmire.
Yes, I'll try to get that Hell in the Cell match with Quagmire for you. Yes.
All right, and don't forget, if I get the first pitch, I'll get you a sausage sandwich.
Ooh, I'd like that.
All right, and a glass of Boston beer. Sam Adams.
Oh, very nice. You can't beat that.
Nope. All right, thank you very much. It's been an honor and a privilege. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, well, Mr. Cena, we're getting close to the end of the program, so I want to give you the opportunity, if there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you'd like, appearances, social media, merchandise, anything at all, the floor is all yours.
No, I really don't have anything I want to promote. I really don't have anything that I, in particular, I want to say. The only thing that I would say is, if you're looking to see some good professional wrestling, August 20th, Newbury, Massachusetts, bell time, 7 o'clock, Atlantic Pro Wrestling, AtlanticProWrestling.com. You can check us out there. We got some great wrestlers there. We have Luis Ortiz, John Poe, Mr. Spellman. Got some real great talent there. Cousin Larry, I'm going to be up in Maine. Check the schedule there. I'm going to be down in Attleboro with the one and only Gary Gold, December 3rd at the Loose Lodge. Gary Gold is going to retire from professional wrestling. And to all the fans out there of professional wrestling, the only thing I would like to say to them is thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for cheering, and thank you for booing. Because without your participation, cheer or boo, there is no professional wrestling. There are no shows. There are no characters. And to the young men and women, through the 13 years or 12 years, whatever, 15 years I've been doing this, all I can say to them is thank you. Thank you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Humbly, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life, for allowing me to manage and help you get over. Thank you very much for allowing me, all of you, the WWF and WWE, for being part of this business.
Well, Mr. Cena, it has been a great pleasure having you on our program today. We enjoyed it immensely. Hopefully we'll get the opportunity again in the future, and I hope we get that match. He would really love a sausage sandwich.
Listen, I'm waiting for Quagmire, steel cage, barbed wire, baseball bat. But if I don't get that match, then Here's the deal. I get QT for 5 minutes in the ring, and you're the guest referee.
I would absolutely love that. That would be one of my highlights in my entire career.
Uh-oh.
Well, QT kept saying, I'm making a note, I'm writing this down. Well, brother, write it down in big, bold letters, because remember one thing, QT, you may think you're the best, but it's Johnny Fabulous, John Cena, that's going to put the double A on you and put you to rest.
Oh no.
All right. Voice over there. All right, brother. Thanks again, guys. I've enjoyed myself. It's been an honor and a privilege.
All right. Thank you very much. Pleasure was all ours. Fans, get out there, support some local independent wrestling if you have shows near you. I'll be in Portland in just a little while for NWA Blue Collar. Come find us there at 7611 North Exeter. Tokyo Monster Cahagas is in town. We'll talk to you next time.
Take care, my friend. Give me a hope. What's wrong with Shelby?